Hey, thank you for tuning in, everybody, to this week's episode. Very excited that you wanted to take the time out of your week to be able to listen to this. Before I get started into our guest, I just want to thank our presenting sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and best-selling 100% gold standard whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different products such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as the crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And oh my goodness, those crisp bars, ooh, are they so good. The vanilla marshmallow one is magnificent. Recently just had the salted toffee one, I believe is the flavor. That one is wonderful too as well. Big, big fan. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. We're talking about the gold standard here, guys. And Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, his information is down in the show notes. You can quickly email him where he'll get back to you and being able to get the products and get you what you need for your athletes and for your facility. Highly suggest you reach out to him. These are absolutely wonderful products, guys. This is the gold standard. We've all been using it. It's an awesome product, awesome company. And Dave is a wonderful person. I can't thank him enough. And for Optimum Nutrition Athletics for being the sponsor of the podcast. So, guys, make sure you reach out down there. Again, they have easy protein snacks to get into your athletes. I know how tough that can be sometimes. We don't know what's going on outside of the weight room. But, hey, you know that you can get good quality protein to them inside of the weight room with those different options that they have with the crisp wafers and cake bites with Optimum Nutrition Athletics. So again, thank you, Dave Harvey and Optimum Nutrition Athletics, for being our sponsor. This week's guest is a reoccurring guest. It is Wayne Adams, the Assistant Director of Sports Performance at Old Dominion University. Wayne is a great, great person. He's a great coach. We talk a lot about baseball here. He's working with the baseball team at Old Dominion University, so very thankful to have him on. We also talk about his side project as well, which is Adams Athletic Performance. I really highly suggest you go to the website. It's adamsathleticperformance.com, where he's got a lot of blog posts on there. It's really awesome. Coach Adams is a wonderful person. Again, a great coach. He's doing amazing things with all the teams that he's working with there at Old Dominion University. Again, he's a reoccurring guest here. Thank you for being on the podcast, Wayne, this week. I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. I hope you go back and listen to all of our past episodes. We have wonderful guests on here. Always reach out to them. Reach out to our guest this week, Wayne Adams. Reach out to our sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Always thankful for Dave Harvey and the whole team there at Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Make sure you reach out to them. And everybody, stay strong. What's up, guys? Straight Talking Shop podcast, reoccurring guest, Mr. Wayne Adams, the Assistant Director of Sports Performance at Old Dominion University. What's up, Wayne?
What's going on? Thanks for having me on again, man. I really appreciate it.
We talked just a second ago, literally, about this, but like Wayne was on my first few episodes, and I'm not saying to not go listen to those episodes because we had great guests, but my audio quality was the worst, and I had the worst questions I would ask, so I'm thankful to have you back on again, Wayne. Got a new job, new position up at Old Dominion. What teams are you working with?
Baseball is my primary sport, so I'll travel with them. I'm at practices and all that. But I'm also working with women's volleyball, men's and women's tennis, and then I'm in charge of sailing as well. But, you know, with all the craziness in the world, I haven't seen a whole lot of them. They've just, I think, tried to play it safe to make sure that they can compete. But those are my team responsibilities here.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, baseball, you know, from my past experience working at Coastal and stuff like that, I absolutely love baseball strength conditioning. And we know we talked a little bit beforehand as well. Like, it's a different animal, man. I don't think people truly understand, like, highly competitive, you know, Division I baseball strength conditioning. Can you kind of dive into what the program's been like since you've taken over? Like, from day one to, I know we got a game later today, how things have kind of morphed over time.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I've always loved baseball. You know, I've had some other positions where I wasn't working baseball. And it's always a sport that I've been interested in. And I think a big part of that is just because of how individualized it can be. It's really interesting, you know, from a programming standpoint, there's always a new puzzle that you got to try to figure out. And I love that kind of stuff. That's, you know, that's probably my favorite part of the job is trying to figure out that stuff. So baseball has always intrigued me. Since I've got here, man, it's been a wild one. I got here 2 weeks before it all happened. So I was here, you know, they already had their in-season program. I wasn't going to make any changes to it really. Just get to know the guys and get going. And, you know, we got shut down. Everyone got sent home. I had to write these weird body weight workouts for guys that there were multiple guys that I never even saw in the weight room over those 2 weeks, just because of how often they were pitching and things like that. So some of those guys I'm writing programs for, I've literally never seen them do anything other than throw a baseball. So, I mean, we're keeping it general anyway, but, you know, that was a weird time. And then we were fortunate back in July, we were able to get some guys on campus. There were some crazy restrictions just to get them into the weight room. And then when they were in the weight room, they had to have a mask on and they could only touch so many items. And man, that was wild, but we got through it. We did what we thought we could. Then another group of guys got to come, and then, you know, one freshman here, two freshmen there. So there was no real like introduction phase for me or for the team or for the incoming kids. It was all, he got here this day and this is how we started him, and he got here this day. And fortunately we made it through the fall, and then we were able to get on to kind of a unified program. Now everyone's got their different stuff and position players, hitters, pitchers, you know, they're all doing some different stuff, but it was all pretty uniformed. We were all following the same scheme. We were trying to get to the same point. So that was a process to get there, but we got there, and now we're rolling pretty good. We got it down. We still got to do some stuff, maybe not as optimal. We're not allowed to lift on the road in our Conference USA. So that's something new. Like in the past, baseball, you know, we're traveling to FAU. We can usually reach out and use their weight room. We can't do that anymore. So that's really affected our starting pitchers. I mean, they're still doing fine, but it's affected the way that I've had to program for them. Our guy that's throwing today, he's lifted in the weight room twice over the past 3 weeks, just because we had been on the road, and the way that we sync him up and when we normally get his lifts, they were on our travel dates and we weren't able to get him in prior. So, you know, we've managed it, and I mean, he's been throwing great, but it's, you know, I was stressing about that. Like, what are we going to do for this guy? Always a new problem. But we're here. We're rolling right now. I think we got it down. The coaching staff and I, we talk daily about what we're doing, how he thinks they're looking, how I think they're looking, what we need to do different. And, you know, we're taking it day by day, week by week. We're fortunate to still be playing.
Yeah, you just nailed it on the head. Fortunate to be playing, man. I think a lot of coaches can probably emphasize with that. You know, to kind of backtrack a little bit here, we'll go back to this too as well. I love that daily talk that you have with the coaches, because like that's so important, especially with baseball. You know, you got pitching coaches, you got hitting coaches, and you got the head coach and everything like that. We got to be able to see like what's the end game here, because it's such a long season, everything like that. And they're playing so many games. But to kind of backtrack, when you started getting the kids trickle in here and there, start to build on the relationships and everything like that, how did that culture kind of morph itself together? You know, did you kind of talk with the sport coaches as well, just being like, hey, like, this is kind of what I want to see in the weight room? Or was it kind of just like, let's just throw it at the wall and see what sticks here kind of thing as each kid comes in?
No, there was a lot of communication. Yeah, we were talking constantly. I can't speak on why I got the job, but I know on my interview, the head coach and I, you know, we were on the same wavelength there. It was a good communication, good conversation. And I think we have kind of the same principles. We want the same things. He's a former military guy. He's big on discipline and doing the little things right. And That's certainly my personality. That's how I like to run the weight room. But he also likes to give them autonomy, and it's their body. They know how they feel. And I'm 100% on board with that as well. So, you know, we've synced up even more since we've been around each other every day. But there were a lot of talks that happened before guys got there. Like, hey, you're going to get these two guys. You know, this guy's a returner. Told me a little bit about him. And, you know, this guy's a freshman. This is what we see. This is what we're going to be working on with his swing. He's got a weird release slot. He's a two-way guy, you know, whatever it is. You know, they told me everything that they knew up front. And I got these notes on these guys. And, you know, and then we throw them into the weight room. And I'm taking crazy notes on these guys as they go as well. As soon as the session's over, I go to my notepad and I write, you know, athlete number one, can't hinge very well. He struggles keeping the shoulder posture, whatever it is. And I take that right to the coaches and we talk about it. Are you seeing this on the mound? Are you seeing this, you know, as they're fielding or anything like that? And we're just trying to address what we think are their biggest deficiencies. That's pretty much all we did all summer and working into the fall. Where is this athlete deficient, and how can we both work together to help them without overdoing it?
That's so good to have that dialogue, to be able to look, like, get a little bit deeper. You know, sometimes I feel like we can be so surface level with those conversations, and like, if that communication's high, like, you're going to see those consistent results. You probably agree with that, right?
Oh yeah. 100%, man. Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's good to know, too, when they see something funny, you know, like, he just didn't look himself on the mound today. It's okay. Well, I'm going to back off a little bit on the training today. Yeah. We got plenty of time to build him back up and things like that. So I really think it's, you know, we always talk about it, an athlete-centric program, right? It should be centered around them and how they feel and making sure that we're setting them up for success. And I really think we're doing a good job of that here.
Well, you talked about it a second ago. That's such low-hanging fruit on taking a notepad in there and writing those notes and then bringing those to the sport coach. Like, I think that's brilliant, man. It's easy just to write that down and just, boom, you've got it right there. It's you know, some people like to do video. Video helps too as well, I'm sure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that too. I do that more for the athlete themselves. Yeah. You know, I keep telling them the same thing and they're trying their ass off, but it just isn't happening. So I take a video. Look, this is what I'm seeing. Oh, I got it, you know. So we'll do that occasionally. I'll send them to the coaches as well. But, I mean, I kind of feel like an idiot that I wasn't taking notes like this on athletes prior. Maybe I was too busy. Probably not. I was probably just too lazy. but I will say I do have more time, you know, in this position, and more of my time is focused towards baseball. So, I mean, that certainly does help with that. But yeah, I mean, I should have been doing this for the past 10 years, man. I'd probably be a way better coach.
You know, that's a mutual friend of ours, but that's something Rhodes taught me when I visited him, is he had all these, and I think he's talked about this on previous podcasts with people, like, he had scribbles all over this piece of paper, and it was just notes that he took from the session of, like, because then he could look back at his program, and I was like, oh, this is so genius. Like, say week 5, they had, like, hamstring problems. It's like, well, what were we doing prior to that that would maybe cause those hamstring problems? Again, low-hanging fruit that any coach at any level could be really doing, in my opinion. Yeah. And you know that best, you know, working at low levels and now at the Division I level and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Well, you know, let's talk off-season baseball. So let's say it's non-COVID craziness going on, everything like that. You can have what you want. What does your guys' speed and agility program kind of look like towards building them up towards the season and then going into in season?
Really, really simple. You know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. That's not my area of expertise. You know, when I was at Catawba and I was fortunate to have an assistant there, Ben McConnell, he was a former track guy. He took all my speed work. I wanted no parts of it. Like, it's just not in my wheelhouse. I think I know enough to get by. But everything we're going to do is, it's going to be super simple. I probably have two guys on the baseball team that I feel I might not be able to help them as much as I'd like to. You know, I mean, they're just, I mean, you watch them run and they're like a gazelle. Like, they're technical. They are fast. Like, they got it down. Like, for them, I think just hopefully solid programming and keeping them healthy is going to be enough. But for everyone else, I feel like I can bring them up just through some really simple stuff. All just grooving movement patterns, and then trying to make sure that the speed program is married to our strength program as well. Just making sure that we're not doing too much, but super low volume stuff, low volume, high frequency, microdose, if you like that term. I don't know. I used to say it. I don't know if that's really what it is. Who knows? But I think that's kind of the key for us, is expose them to those high velocities or expose them to that acceleration work as frequently as possible, and volumes that are low enough that it's not going to take away from their ability to go and swing or go and pitch and things like that. And then just make sure that we're not doing too much in the weight room to jack them up when they do go and do that as well.
Yeah, I love to be able to ask that. Just, I love how you said it. You just keep it simple, because I feel like sometimes, you know, especially in the baseball, like I said, you can see all kinds of wonky stuff where guys are running poles nonstop, and you're like, what good are we doing there? What are you exposing them to right there? So I love that you talked about getting that high frequency, you know, those, you know, straight line, linear speed and everything like that. I think that's super important to get with the kids, but also it can't take away from the weight room as well. And the weight room can't take away. It's got to be able to work together. Sometimes I feel like it can kind of clash where you're maybe a little bit more on the other end too. I love that you just kind of admitted too. It's like, it's not really my expertise kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to program something you don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's most of the research that I do these days, you know, to try to help my programming is either speed based or nutrition based, you know, how can I help them more? Those are just the areas where I need more help. You know, I need to look into it more. I will say though, with baseball, I'm probably doing more. We are doing more curved running and like non-linear type stuff. I think there's a big benefit to that. Our head coach loves it as well. It's something that he's been doing as long as he's been coaching. So, you know, of course it makes sense for me. And then the non-traditional starts as well. We do a lot of lateral starts, half kneeling, laying down, whatever it is. But we get them in some different positions. And we're doing that all the time too. That's not just off season. Like, that's part of our daily warm up as well.
Yeah. You talked about the curved sprints. I think those are massive for baseball players, because you're exposing the hamstrings to exactly what they're going to feel on the base, on the bases and everything like that. Cause like you said, and a linear speed, like unless they're in the outfield or something like that, which they're going to be shooting off laterally, right?
Yeah. Some ankle work too, man. Like, it was probably in August when, you know, we had done a lot of linear stuff, some buildups and some flying work and things like that. And late August, early September. And then we started introducing some curve stuff. And we did like four reps of just curve and back, curve and back. And they were like true sprints. You know, we waited like a minute or so in between. And the next day, all the guys are like, oh man, my ankles are torn up. Like, what did we do? It's like, it's that curve running. Like, we haven't been exposed to that. I mean, their season got cut short too, so they probably hadn't done anything like that since March. Interesting. So I think it was, you know, really important for us ankle wise and to prepare them to start running some bases, some tighter curves, you know?
Yeah. I think that's pretty important too as well. How much agility work were you throwing in there? Like, would it be like box drills, kind of stuff like that? What would it kind of look like from there?
We didn't really do any of that. They're doing so much on the field.
Exactly.
Our infielders, especially, they're taking tons and tons of ground balls every day. So they're kind of just getting that stuff in naturally. I'm more trying to manage the hip and ankle with them. Our outfielders, they get a good amount of live reads where, you know, they make their jump and then they go, but we didn't do a lot of agility work. We did some more just like We did a little bit of jump roping and some like light plyo, remedial plyo type stuff in the weight room for those guys. And I had them do some more fun sprint stuff, like met ball throw and chase or like partner tag or whatever, you know, just to get them something a little bit different. But yeah, not a lot of agility work.
I hope coaches picked up that big nugget right there, is that you were accounting for all the stuff that they're doing on the field. Like that's going to be their agility work kind of thing. You still worked in the little bit of stuff. It's like, you don't want, again, let's go back to the beginning. Like you're not taken away from anything else, you know? And then you're having constant communication, like being out there at practice to see like, what are the coaches doing in practice with the kids? I'll be like, okay, they're getting plenty of that already in practice. I don't need to be hammering that on our field work or in the weight room kind of thing. Cause that can sometimes get lost in the shuffle too.
Yeah. We got these, if there's any baseball guys out there, they're called Fungo Men. And there are these big machines that shoot ground ball. They can shoot the ball anywhere, but our infielders take so many Fungo Men ground balls. I was talking to our head coach, and I think the first 2 weeks that we were actually on the field, the infielders took over 1,000 ground balls apiece by that point. Like, oh my gosh. Just out there just taking them, you know? So, I think what we were doing with them was so limited. But they needed that skill work. They had been deprived of it for so long. Mm-hmm. They really needed that. You know, we were able to keep them healthy and I think, you know, somewhat resilient. You know, there are always going to be some issues in the hips with some baseball guys, but, you know, we were able to manage it and man, they're getting tons of that. I didn't need to touch it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you don't need to touch it, don't touch it kind of thing. That's amazing. Well, it's kind of shifting now towards the weight room kind of thing. And if people don't know, at this current moment, I think there's a team leading the NCAA in home runs. So I'm sure the weight room's helping out a little bit with that.
Yeah. My joke with our hitting coach, like, that's all me, you know, like I'm taking all the credit, but Logan Robbins, our hitting coach, he's the man. Like he's got these dudes dialed in. They love him. Their energy feeds off of each other. And we got some meatheads, but man, they are meticulous about their skill work. Yeah. They are constantly like, our coaches have to turn them down. Like, no more today. Like, you know, you did enough today. Let's come back again tomorrow. Like they just want more and more and more. I think that's kind of baseball as a whole. Like baseball players are a different breed. They love that stuff, but they do a really good job. I do think we were able to get some solid work in for those guys that were here in the summer and then building up through the fall. I think we were able to get some really good strength and power work in. And now we're doing a good job of kind of maintaining that intensity throughout the season.
Right. Yeah. That's the big thing I always think of is like talking to a coach recently about this, and they were talking about like, if you're getting weaker in the in season, like that's a problem. Like you should keep that, if not gain a little bit in the end season, if you can program it correctly. So it's kind of probably really tough for you guys though. You said where you're not able to lift on the road.
Yeah. We have Conference USA. We're not allowed to use other people's weight rooms right now. I guess prior to the, you know, conference season, they did a poll of the head coaches and some schools were going to allow it and some weren't. And so just to make it consistent for everybody, they said no. So we can't lift guys on the road, which is tough. We were traveling the past 2 weekends. So we were gone early Thursday morning and we got back late Sunday night or early Monday morning. So that's a big chunk of time. And we usually lift on Thursdays and Mondays for our position guys. And then, you know, our pitchers is based off of their throwing schedule, but, you know, we miss a lot of lifts there. So it's been fun, but difficult to figure out what to do on the road because half the hotels don't have weights in them anymore. They took them out for
COVID. Yeah.
So you can't even get like a hotel pump sometimes. And then, you know, when we're flying, we can't fly with kettlebells, stuff like that. Like we're taking enough stuff. We got to take the stuff to actually play baseball. So, you know, like we're just doing some circuits and, you know, we're doing a lot of partner manual resistance type stuff on the road and things like that. And we're having fun with it. We joke, we got a lot of guys that are, you know, former JUCO guys, and they love the down and dirty. They always say we got JUCO grit. So that's what we say. We're having fun with it. But it has been difficult. And then the season's a little different too for us. Normally there's a 3-game series on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Well, we're playing 4 games in those 3 days now. So we play Friday, doubleheader Saturday and Sunday. And we have midweek sometimes too. So like we got a midweek coming up on Tuesday. When do we lift, you know? And when we lift, what can we do? What can we get away with? Man, I got this amazing macro that I developed, right? I threw it out after like 2 weeks because it's like by the time we get to Sunday, I don't know what the heck I'm going to be able to do on Monday.
Right.
So, you know, I got an idea. I know the ranges that I want to be at. I kind of got an idea of the movements. You know, I got a list of 3 or 4 movements that I want to get done on that Monday. And based on how we're doing on Sunday night, I just go in and we have Team Builder now, which makes it so easy. But I can just go in there and adjust, you know, the percentages or the volume or anything like that. And, it's been difficult though. It's a unique year. It's fun, but man, it can be time consuming as well.
But it's so important though, like you said, to be able to like, you have a plan. We got to go to plan B and plan C already, you know, and then just kind of knowing your athletes. I think that kind of goes back to the beginning again, where it's like the relationship side of it. Like, you can talk to them and see like, hey, how are you feeling? Talk to the sport coaches, like what are we seeing? What do we want to get out of this week and everything like that? Because you got to adjust on the fly, especially with the craziness that's going on right now. Being able to adjust on the fly is so massive, and that's going to go for any sport.
Yeah. It was so difficult to, I guess, just visualize what the season was going to look like, even though like, we had our games set and we knew when we were going to play and stuff like that. Still so crazy because you never know who's going to get shut down for a COVID reason or a contact trace. And this is something I really struggled with. You know, traditionally, I just kind of stepped my program 65%, 70%, 75%, 80%, and then we back it back down. I was just thinking, like, what if this someone gets contact traced and they miss, you know, 2 weeks, and they were at 65% and they missed our 70 and 75% week, and now boom, they're at 80% week after taking 2 weeks off. Like, how can I? That's gonna happen. I knew it was gonna happen. How are we gonna plan for that? I still don't know if I have the right answer, but we just try to stay at percentages a little bit longer. So, you know, 2 or 3 weeks at 65, 2 or 3 weeks at 75, and try to vary the implements that we're using and stuff like that. It's just so much uncertainty going on, and the communication with the coaches is definitely helped with everything, but I don't know if I'm doing what's right or not. We're staying healthy. So I'm happy with that, and we're able to play baseball, so I'm happy with that.
Happy to play baseball. And then too, you got to be creative as well. So, I mean, this is something that you'll always remember for years down the road, just being like, hey, what did we do back then when we ran into a weird situation like this before? God willing, we never run into another pandemic again, hopefully, but you know, fingers crossed for that. But you know, as we kind of wind down here, I want to kind of just talk a little bit about, created something during the pandemic, if I recall. Can I kind of talk about that a little bit too as well? Just, I love it because again, I preached on it on our first ever time together. Like when you were at Catawba, like you guys had great infographics that like would just kind of give me aha moments where I'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. Or like this or that. And that's kind of what you've done now with your new side thing is like, you'll put up these awesome graphics or man, you had an article that was about money that I was like, I sent that to so many people because I'm like, you need to read this right now. This is one of the most important things. It doesn't have to do with super training or conjugate or whatever. Like this is super important. Can you talk about a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the big project you're talking about is I started a website, Adams Athletic Performance. It's always been a goal of mine to kind of own a training facility. You know, that's kind of been my end goal. At some point, I think that would be really cool. just to kind of be the owner operator and run the show. And my fiance now, you know, she's a certified yoga instructor. She has a huge interest in nutrition. And she's expressed interest in something like that as well. So we had some free time in the during the pandemic, wasn't allowed to come into work and stuff like that, doing so much remotely. So decided to start a website and maybe try to build the brand a little bit, and, you know, try my hand at writing some blog posts and things like that. And yeah, just really trying to push myself a little bit. I'm not the greatest speaker. I'm not the greatest writer, but I think it's important to put yourself out there and learn from those experiences. And I had a pretty tough path to get to where I am. A lot of people in strength and conditioning do, and very, very few of us stick it out. And understandably, it's tough. Financially, it can be tough on your family life, things like that. I was fortunate I stuck through it, and I'm in a position that I love. But I've gone through some struggles there, and a lot of it was financially. So, you know, that blog post I thought was important information to get out there. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. A lot of people give me little tidbits here and there, but I've had to do a lot of research on my own on how to manage my money better and how to set myself up for success, because we don't get paid great in strength and conditioning. Most of us don't anyway. So try to make sure that I'm set up for, you know, retirement, and when I have a family, that the kids are set up and things like that. So that, you know, that blog post was really important to me. And I'm working on a part two as well. I've probably done every damn side hustle you can think of. So I want to make sure that people know about that as well, because there's tons of ways to make some side money out there. And for young strength coaches who are in those internship or volunteer positions, or even the ones that don't pay very well, it's important to have another source of income. Even if you don't need that, it's good to have it, because you can start saving it, investing it, and start helping yourself build a better future. Just from a couple hours here or there on a Saturday when you're not doing anything. And sometimes that's easier said than done, though. I know sometimes on a Saturday I just want to sit at home, but there's things you can do at home too. There's so many ways to make money. And I think that's one of the great things that did come out of this pandemic is e-commerce is, I mean, it's now, but it's certainly going to be the future. And there's so many easy ways to make some bucks here and there.
You could, if you're a coach, you could write a 8-week program, sell it on a website, and make money that way if you wanted to. You know what I mean? It's incredible. Yeah. The different resources, but I really want to go ahead. Can you plug it again, the website? Because I truly love it, man. All the blog posts are great. That one just kind of stuck out in my mind because it was just so unique. Cause like you said, you hear coaches kind of talk about it. People kind of talk about money, but nothing, you got to go do a lot of research on your own. You nailed it on the head, but can you go ahead and plug that again one more time?
Yeah. AdamsAthleticPerformance.com. And then we have, an Instagram and a Twitter as well. Adam's Athletic Performance.
Go follow that right now, guys. Well, you know, Wayne, yeah, anytime, man. I appreciate you being on, but hey, our last question of the day is, you know, what's something that you're thankful for?
Oh man, I'm just thankful to be here with my health and to be, I have a fiance now. We're going to get married in July. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm close to family. It's been the first time that I've been this close to family in 11 years. So I've seen my mom and grandma and father more now than I have over the past 11 years, even through the pandemic. So I'm really thankful for just where my life is at this point. You know, it's a blessing. So,
absolutely, man. Being close to family is absolutely amazing. Wayne, I'm just so happy to have you on. If people want to reach out to you and follow you, how can they find you on social media? I know that you make good posts, because you had that one tweet that went like massively viral to like Max Preps. Oh my gosh, man.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. I get I get hate tweets about it all the time. You know, people don't agree.
For real?
Well, it's Twitter, man, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
That's either I agree with you or you're completely wrong. Like, there's no but, whatever. But yeah, my Twitter is at Coach Wayne Adams. My Instagram is B as in boy, W Adams Jr. It's just my name there, Bradford Wayne Adams Jr., BW Adams Jr. And then you can email me too, bwadamsjr@gmail.com. That's my personal email. I'm happy to respond to anyone, help anyone out any way I can.
It's a great, great person, Wayne. I can't thank you again for being on the podcast for a second time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Number two, I was thinking, you know, I'm in the top 10, not because it was top 10, like best episodes, but because it was a first guy. So
yeah, yeah.
I got number 9 next to my name, right?
Heck yeah, you do. Heck yeah, man. Well, again, Wayne, appreciate you being on here. Everybody, make sure you reach out to him and stay strong.